Chené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It is Chené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And we got a good old-fashioned football Friday coming up for you today. Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson, who's been hanging out with us all week, and we have got Barrett Jones, former All-American in Alabama, Chris Felica, the Bear, to help you get right for your money this weekend, Marcus Spears, Richard Johnson from the SEC Network. Amber, I don't know if I'm still riding off the high of last night, but we are back. Like, we are fully back.
Back, baby. It is college football season. Let's go. We got a lot of it last night. Did you stay up and watch any of it? Because you had to get up at, what, 4 a.m. this morning to make it to your game? You're calling the West Virginia game, I believe, correct?
I am calling West Virginia at Maryland. I am actually doing my leg of the show today. This is now, I think, what I'm going to loosely dub the Fall Friday Football Road Radio Tour, which is a mouthful to say, and as I say it, probably a bad idea.
Right, but yeah, you might want to, or come up with an acronym for it or something.
That is true. Someone work on that. At Mike Golic Jr. and at Amber W790 on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. What's a better name I can call this? Because I am in the press box right now, staring down at Capital One Field in Maryland Stadium. I'm getting ready. West Virginia at Maryland, 3:30 Eastern tomorrow on ESPN. So, Amber, it might be that I'm staring at a literal football field that is doing this. But to answer your original question, I really wanted to, all right? I really wanted to, but UCF and Boise State going into the second half after midnight because of a rain delay, and Ohio State somehow letting Minnesota hang around long enough to make me care about that in the fourth quarter were not things I planned for.
In fairness, that UCF game was postponed by, I think, what, a full 3 hours for that rain delay? So I do feel like you're off the hook there. When you went to sleep, did you think that Ohio State was going to lose to Minnesota? And did you think UCF was getting blown out by Boise State?
So I thought at that moment in time, Ohio State was going to be too talented to lose. The reason I say that is because what Minnesota had done was great. PJ Fleck has got a well-coached outfit there. I understand Tanner Morgan, the appeal. They get back a lot of their offensive line that they missed last year. COVID, opt-outs, all these things. That team is built like a cinder block up front and operates every passing play like a bar fight. Meanwhile, on the other side for Ohio State, Amber, we're having conversations about CJ Stroud's viability as a quarterback on the other side. Man, did he look a little in over his head. After a game where he went 13 of 22 for 294 yards, 4 touchdowns, and an interception. That is an embarrassment of riches that wasn't going to lose.
Well, he did look a little over his head, obviously, in the first half. And he recognized, he said that he wasn't just mentally with it in that first half. And credit to Minnesota, obviously, they were incredibly disruptive to Ohio State. And before that injury to Mohamed Ibrahim, I mean, they had no answer for him whatsoever, that Ohio State defense. So Minnesota put up an unbelievable performance. But I, like you, by the time I went to bed, I mean, I'm not falling for the rope-a-dope with Ohio State. Like, no. I've learned my lesson over the years. I always root against Ohio State. I've learned my lesson, though. I know better. I'm not going to fall for it. I know we're not going to get one. We're not going to be that lucky the first week of college football season. But nevertheless, it was a fun game. It was a beautiful game. And I think with CJ Stroud, I guess maybe you feel like, hey, trial by fire. Like, at least I got the struggles out early in the season. If you were going to struggle as a quarterback of any Power 5 program, you probably want that to be this week, right? You want to get the, like, get the wiggles out.
Exactly. That's what we're here to do right now on Chené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Reminder, you can be a part of Chené and Golic Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is so back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Now, let's hear from Ryan Day.
UCF fans, by the way.
Oh, God.
Speaking of fans, they deserve some serious credit for that. Like, are you sticking with any football game? Before we get to Ryan Day, but are you sticking to any with any football game in person with a 3-hour rain delay well past midnight?
Amber, I was a part of a game with a three-hour rain delay when we played South Florida in 2010 at Notre Dame, and I was in pads as a player, and I didn't want to be a part of that game by the time we got to hour one and a half. When I'm sitting in the locker room, laid out in full pads, I mean, we had guys take showers. We had people listening to music in their lockers again. We had to basically restart an entire game, which we lost in horrific fashion that changed the course of a lot of people's lives in that field. But no, I would never have stuck around for that game. Not in a million years.
I apologize for conjuring up that terrible memory for you.
Well, Amber, I was going to ask if you thought Miami fans would stick around for a game like that, but we've already clearly seen on the big stage at American Airlines.
Of course. There's the easy one.
The low-hanging fruit. I'm so sorry. You know what? That was ugly of me. I'm going to get away from that by saying Ryan Day, Ohio State's coach, joined Greeny earlier on ESPN Radio and assessed C.J. Stroud's first game. I'm sorry.
It was typical of a quarterback who had never thrown a college pass before in his life. You know, he came in and caught a couple, easy completions early, then missed a couple, and then got a little uneasy at times. But we talked about it going in. You know, we're just going to keep calling him. You know, and if you miss another one, we're going to call it again. And that's how you work through a young quarterback. You know, I don't know I've had 9 new quarterbacks in the last 10 years. So this is something that, unfortunately, we've gotten used to here, is breaking in young quarterbacks. But, I wish he had a whole year last year of coming in and getting 100 to 200 snaps under his belt, but he didn't because of COVID and all the games we missed. So this is all new to him, and it's going to be, you know, some learning lessons along the way.
It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And Amber, I will give him credit. I mean, you were talking about a conference road game, week one to start your season for C.J. Stroud, and some incredibly unrealistic expectations set by a couple of recently departed first-round draft pick NFL quarterbacks that came in and did damage in 1 and 2 years. So the standard is set ridiculously high there, even for a guy who comes in as highly touted as C.J.
Yeah, I mean, Stroud said that we were going to just keep rallying and that was Ryan Day's message to him, and he did just that. So he absolutely deserves a lot of credit for having the tenacity to push through and come back when you know the weight of the world is on your shoulders, because everybody is looking at Ohio State when they see the notifications on their phone that they are down to Minnesota at any point in that game. All sorts of television sets are going to be turned on across the country, and he must know that in real time. So you got to give him a lot of credit. You also have to give Ryan Day credit. You just heard it there. I mean, he said that this is how you break in a young quarterback. I don't think that's how everybody breaks in a young quarterback. He really stuck to that really aggressive game plan. In fact, they were more aggressive in the second half than they were. They were a lot more conservative. There was some more dinking and dunking in the first half than in the second half. I mean, Stroud threw touchdown passes of 70, 61, 56, and 38 yards. He was airing that ball out in the second half, and it worked out very well for him. But I do think Ryan Day deserves credit for allowing his quarterback to do that, trusting his quarterback to do that, even though he had had obvious struggles in the first half.
Amber, you know how many coaches around college football would kill to have one 50-yard play in their bag. And Ohio State not only had 3 over 50 yards, they had one play, a 71-yard touchdown run by Mayan Williams, that was a missed assignment on the play. The running back ran the wrong way, and they scored a 71-yard touchdown. Do you know how good you have to be to do that?
Well, that's why you don't fall for the rope-a-dope when you see Ohio State down week one. That's
yes.
Why.
Now, week two is going to get interesting, and I think a big reason why Ryan Day, Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise, was trying to make sure he force-fed him a lot of situations he was going to need is because week two, you get Oregon.
Yep.
That is going to be a big test. We talked about Kayvon Thibodeau, that defense full of premier talent that Mario Cristobal's put together out there. And so it's going to get real, real quick with one of the biggest out-of-conference matchups in the season. Week two for a team that trotted out a quarterback that, again, we are questioning after a 13-for-22, 294-yard, 4-touchdown, and 1-interception performance. So Ohio State's looking all right. But coming up next, this is just the beginning of the weekend. That's the best part about it. Coming up next, I will tell you about my biggest airport mishap this morning and the biggest surprise, the biggest event we're looking forward to this upcoming weekend and season in college football. It's Janae Angolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae Angolick Jr., the podcast.
Last night felt like college football's Christmas Eve. It felt special. It felt big. And we feel very back right now. And the best part is, we've only just reached the tip of the iceberg.
We've
it's Janae Angola Jr.
Day.
Ooh, do we ever, Amber? Michael Jr., Amber Wilson, ready to unwrap some presents under the tree. And Amber, I noticed this. Now, the people watching on ESPN Plus right now, which we always recommend that you do, are not seeing you at the moment, but I am seeing you in our Zoom chat here. People are seeing me on E Plus right now. We are both resplendent in our team colors. Now, I went with the Notre Dame Fighting Irish team colors. Shout out to the folks at home field for the shirt. You are rocking, I mean, the loudest teal Miami Dolphins gear humanly possible here. And I got to tell you, you're crushing it. It's fantastic.
I really am. I feel like I'm crushing the game. It's really a shame that I'm not on ESPN Plus right now, because I do feel like that this hat and shirt combo is something that the world should see. It is a teal hat. I'll just describe it for everybody so you don't feel like you're missing out. It's a teal hat with bright pink flamingos all over it and a Dolphins, Miami Dolphins logo. So I am football ready, baby.
And football ready. Well, listen, today is National College Colors Day, by the way, September 3rd, before the usual kickoff to college football season. We've got that. It's the 17th year of this fan holiday, established to give fans a day to unite, show their fandom. So everyone's encouraged to show off those colors today, as we are using the hashtag College Colors Day. This year's theme, that feeling when. The excitement, the joy of game day. Honestly, Amber, it's exactly what we felt last night. It's what I feel sitting here right now doing my leg of this radio show from Maryland Stadium, ready for kickoff at 3:30 tomorrow. It's just a different feeling this year.
A different feeling. Such a good feeling that this morning you did not know how to conduct yourself after an evening of watching college football, and you quite literally made a mess of what lovely airport? Public establishment?
That would be Bradley International Airport in Windsor Locks, Connecticut. Listen, Amber, I was just I was jacked up by a number of things. Number one, you're right. Watching Minnesota take it to the wire with Ohio State, watching UCF somehow come back and beat Boise in the bounce house after that rain delay. You had North Carolina State kicking things off in fashion. UC Davis beat Tulsa. Who the hell saw that coming? So it was a lot to take in. But then I get to the airport, and I'm sitting by my gate, and my friend Carly, who's getting ready to go out to her game, she's part of the crew working graphics, covering Florida State and Notre Dame. She says, oh, look, a pug. And how am I, the pug guy at ESPN, not supposed to snap up and look and then kick every ounce of the Yeti tumbler I had of water full all over the main concourse where everybody walks?
I do feel like if you're going to destroy kneecaps by making the entire concourse wet with your water, then the time to do that would be over a pug. Like, that feels reasonable to me.
It feels, quite frankly, more than reasonable. And, Amber, it's not the wildest thing I saw in the air.
Did you see the pug? Was it worth it? Was it a cute
pug?
Oh,
yeah. It was a cute little pug, and the pug was in a cute little smushy. And when he was, like, his own little cute little, like, cheetah print carrier, and he was snorting and breathing heavy the whole time, and I really identified with it. And we had a moment where I thought we made eye contact. It was perfect. But, Amber, again, not the wildest thing I saw in the airport, because I landed in Baltimore at about 6:53 a.m., and I walked by one of the restaurant bars and saw a dude sitting by himself rip a shot of something brown and keep it moving. And I said, we are all playing for second place after this today.
Are we sure it wasn't coffee? Because I did see you tweet this morning, and I was thinking, like, could it have been cafecito? And he's ripping shots of cafecito at 6:30 in the morning. That's something that you'd find in Miami International. Could you confuse cafecito with some sort of dark liquor?
Amber, I don't think so.
Can you even buy liquor at 6:30 in the morning in airports? That's a
thing. Oh, yeah. And listen, there's no rules inside the airport, Amber. You know what? This is a perfect time for the weekend preview brought to you by Bank of America Customized Cash Rewards Credit Card. You can earn 3% cash back on online shopping. Copyright 2021 Bank of America Corporation. And Amber, there are no rules when it comes to drinking at the airport. Time is not a real construct there. And so, Matt Mann, I am not judging him. He is living however he needs to get through that experience in the airport, which we all know can be hell.
Well, I know it absolutely can be. I'm hoping that he had a nice long flight ahead of him so that he could sleep off whatever he did consume at 6:30 in the morning, rally, and then go again.
Listen,
that's the only problem. Like, when you start too early, you know, breakfast, brunch, unlimited mimosas, bottomless Bloody Marys. When you start going down that path of drinking early in the morning, that's the only problem, is it can ruin the rest of your day.
Amber, a wise man once said, you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning. And he's just getting prepared for college football season coming up here because he knows we got absolute hammers getting thrown out this weekend. Bama versus Miami, Clemson, Georgia squaring off, Notre Dame and Florida State. Amber, if I gave you that three-pack right there, you've only got one TV. Which game's going on?
No Florida Atlantic in Florida?
I mean,
that's not on your list. I don't know what you're doing there, but
I mean, there's Texas and Louisiana too. If we want to get weird, because that could be another one of those Sun Belt Big 12 upsets week one, like we saw last year.
My only problem with watching Georgia Clemson is honestly going to be that it conflicts with the Gators game. So I'm going to be in a situation where the Gators game is probably going to get the iPad. Georgia and Clemson's probably going to get the television. And I absolutely, of course, will be watching that Bama-UM game before that. Those are the two games I'm most interested in. I do think LSU-UCLA is an underrated game that nobody's talking about. There's some wild cards there and some pretty uneven quarterback play there. But it could be interesting to see the direction of those two teams because I feel like those two teams are really difficult to predict where they're going to go this season. So from that perspective, that's an interesting matchup. But Bama is absolutely going to be the focus earlier in the day for me. Just hoping that by some miracle, UM can do something to keep that game competitive, even though I don't think that we and the odds makers really have much belief that UM can do it. I do think that Derek King might have something to say about that, and maybe at least they can keep it close, and that Miami defense, we'll see how it holds up against a really good Bama offense.
You know what? Let's take a look at that, because coming up next, I've got someone who can give us great insight on what to expect from DJ Uiagalelei finally taking over the reins all for himself at Clemson and tell us what it's like to run out of the tunnel wearing that Alabama helmet for week one of a big-time matchup. We'll get to that next after this word from Barbasol. Now, in 1919, Barbasol introduced the very first no-brush, no-lather, no-rub-in shaving cream. Today, we celebrate this milestone with a fresh take on the original. Introducing Barbasol's 1919 Classic Shaving Cream, a culmination of over 100 years of shaving excellence. This new non-aerosol shaving cream is fortified with aloe, coconut oil, and shea butter to soothe and protect your skin. It's paired with a fresh and calming fragrance, so this ultra-slick formula delivers a shave experience like no other. To learn more about Barbasol, go to Barbasol.com. That's Barbasol.com. Let's roll Damn Tide next on ESPN Radio. Oh, God.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
College football is back. Tune in tomorrow night as Georgia battles Clemson in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's part of the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Presented by Dr. Pepper, coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We are Jhené and Golic Jr. I'm Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson, hanging out with us all week. And speaking of the Duke's Mayo Bowl, the voice you will hear on the call for that at ESPN Radio is Barrett Jones, our ESPN college football analyst, three-time national champion with Alabama, and he joins us now on the Goodyear Hotline. And Barrett, the only obvious first place to start with this is you are calling Georgia and Clemson in the Duke's Mayo kickoff. Are you a big Mayo guy?
Well, I'm really glad you said that. It felt like a really appropriate entrance for an offensive lineman, especially, you know, is the some good old-fashioned mayonnaise. And I'll be honest, I am a mayo guy. I probably, if I'm being honest, like any true fat guy, I'm probably more of a ranch dressing guy, which is, I would say, firmly in the mayo family. But I appreciate some cold mayo on a BLT.
Barrett, you're right. They're cousins, and ranch is absolutely the favorite cousin. I knew I could trust you for being my North Star on this.
It's there basically seems to... spiced mayo. Spiced mayo. Ooh. You know, I mean, that's when you think about it.
God, yeah, see, that's an enlightened man.
It's funny, I've noticed, Barrett, over the last week that I'm filling in on this show, that there seems to be a theme with Mike asking former O-linemen about mayonnaise. So that does seem to be popular amongst the O-linemen. But let's moving on to this actual matchup here with Georgia and Clemson. Who needs this win more?
You know, it's a great question, and I was actually just having this debate today with Ian Fitzsimmons at lunch over who needs this one more, and I really think it's got to be Georgia, you know, for two reasons. First of all, I think when you look at their schedule, even though they do have an easier SEC schedule and who they catch in their West opponent, I still think, you know, if the ultimate goal is to make it to the college football playoff, they have a much tougher road, you know, than Clemson does. Clemson, obviously, has shown the last few years that the ACC schedule is usually not too much of a problem for them. So I kind of expect them, even if they lose this game, to run through the ACC and still find their way back to the college football playoff. Whereas Georgia, I think that'd be a much taller task. But I think it's more than that, too. I think Georgia, you know, Clemson obviously has a lot of belief that they've won a lot of big games over the last few years. And it's been a few years since Georgia, it seems like, has won a big marquee matchup. And so I think for those two reasons, but probably even more so, just the confidence of this team moving forward, if they want to be who a lot of people think they can be this year, I think they got to win this game against Clemson and show the country that they're a true contender for the national championship.
You're right. Clemson, of course, has the much easier schedule and the much easier path here through the ACC. Is there a strength of schedule concern there, though, if they don't win this game? Because they don't have much else on this schedule that would be significant wins.
Well, that's what Ian said. That was his argument today at lunch. You're very uneven with Simmons. But I just it's hard for me to really imagine, you know, 11-1 or 12-1, I guess, if they won the ACC championship game. Clemson, who was a conference champion, I don't think we've – I shouldn't say that. There's been very few times, if any, where a one-loss conference champion has been left out. So, regardless, you're right. They would have a very weak schedule, but I still think they'd probably find their way in. I love that. This is what I love about college football. We're already talking about CFP projections, and you know, we haven't even had week one yet. Part of what makes it fun.
It's so true. Jhené Ngola Jr. talking to Barrett Jones, who's going to be on the call with Sean Kelly and Ian Fitzsimmons for Georgia and Clemson. And Barrett, one thing I haven't heard debated as much in this game, looking at the quarterback situation, JT Daniels comes back for another year, got the late start last year because of that knee injury coming in, and DJ Uiagalelei takes over for Trevor Lawrence. Which team has the better quarterback going into this game?
Yeah, it's definitely a big question, and that's one thing I've been asking myself. I think in the South especially, there's been a lot of talk this offseason about JT Daniels. And look, I'll be the first to admit it all could be right. But when you go back and look at the tape, I think JT Daniels certainly had some nice moments at the end of last year. But that Georgia schedule in the second half of the year, they played against some softer defenses. So, you know, I need to see JT Daniels prove it on the field a little bit more before I'm ready to say, okay, this is finally the guy that's ready to bring the Georgia offense into the 21st century. Whereas DJ Uiagalelei, man, he played in a big-time game last year against Notre Dame. If you made me pick right now who I would want between those guys, I'm probably going to go with DJ. I have high hopes for this guy after watching him on tape, even though it was limited action. I think they're both going to be really, really good players, but I think DJ has a chance to be one of the best quarterbacks in the country this year.
This Georgia team's actually pretty beat up going into this game, particularly in terms of wide receivers and tight ends. How much do you think that's going to affect things?
I think it's enormous. I think it's a huge storyline. There's all kinds of things we're hearing and rumors and who's going to play, who's not going to play. And, you know, there's a lot of issues there. But the bottom line is I got to figure out who the go-to guy is going to be for JT Daniels. I mean, there's some guys who are coming back from last season. Obviously, George Pickens, you thought was kind of going to come back and have an All-American type season. He's that type of player. Then he tears his ACL in the spring. They might get him back this year. They might not. They're going to have to find somebody on the perimeter, whether it's Jermaine Burton, whether it's Kyrus Jackson, somebody like that to step up and be a go-to guy. As good as this offensive line, this running game is, in this day and age of football, if you can't throw the football down the field, you can only go so far.
Barrett, we can't let you out of here without talking about your alma mater. Alabama opens up with Miami this weekend, and Bryce Young's kind of been one of the mysteries of this offseason here. You know that program as well as anyone, and really what the quarterback position and the standard there for that position has evolved to here. How ready do you think Bryce Young is for this?
Yeah, another great question. I think there's been a lot of assumptions made by people that, hey, this is the next guy. You know, we've seen the baton be passed from Jalen Hurts on over to Tua and then on over to Mac Jones, and Bryce Young's going to pick up right where those guys left off. And, hey, again, he might. You know, I really have no idea. I mean, I think the truth is, and you know this, Mike, is that you really never know what you have, especially the position of quarterback, until the live bullets start flying. And, you know, the big difference there with the quarterbacks is they wear those non-contact jerseys in practice. They don't get hit very much. All of a sudden, you put them out there against a top 25 opponent, you got to find out. So, I think Bryce Young is a great player. He has all the talent in the world and certainly has a lot of talent around him to get the job done. But I'm excited to see how he handles himself tonight. Obviously, this is going to be kind of the first year where at least guys can legally be, you know, getting paid for what they're doing. And so will that affect him? You know, obviously, there's a lot of hype around a guy being the Alabama quarterback. Coach Saban comes out and says he's already made over $1 million. How's he going to handle all that? I'm really interested to watch that tomorrow. And I've heard he's a great kid and I've heard he's a good leader. But we're going to have to figure out what he looks like on the field.
It's going to be interesting. Certainly Miami veteran secondary, going to be a great test for him in that Alabama offense. Everyone, make sure you check out Georgia and Clemson. Barrett Jones going to be on the call on ESPN Radio as that gets going tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern. Barrett, we appreciate your time, man. Have a great call this weekend.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show. I'm glad you've forgiven me. It seems like you've moved on from me ruining your senior season, so I appreciate that.
Oh,
I'm glad we're friends again.
You just had to bring it up on the way out, Barry. Get him out of here. Cut the line. My God, yes. Barrett Jones is actually that's the part that kills me, Amber, is I actually like Barrett a lot. And the thing you find out, and you mentioned this about other offensive linemen, once you take the jersey colors off, is we're basically all like coupled to the same person.
You're all one. You're all brothers with the jersey off.
We are all brothers in support of ranch dressing. I think that's really what this comes down to, is he makes the point. I want to round back to that. Ranch, spicy mayo with a little sex appeal, ready to kiss. Get
sexy
whatever you
mayo.
Need going. Mm. Ooh, is ranch just sexy mayo? At AmberW790, at Mike Golic Jr. on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. But coming up next, we got to head to a division. We talk about the NFC West all the time. Very quietly, a pressure cooker has been building in the North. We will get to that next here. Chinay Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chinay Angola Jr., the podcast.
Hey, you know what? And it's good because it's educational for people that might have been. I'm just here on Chinay Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio with Amber Wilson. I am Mike Golic Jr. Amber, I am just here to speak up for people that might be too embarrassed to say in public that they're not sure what a macadamia nut actually is and that they've only ever had it in the context of a delicious cookie or a bar. And so I fall on that sword for people because I care about them.
Yeah, you're trying to be the everyman, except for I'm not sure you are the everyman because we got a lot of phone calls yesterday in support of how excellent macadamia nuts are. And we also learned yesterday, very keto-friendly.
Very keto-friendly. So we went from macadamia nuts yesterday to ranch being sexy mayo today. It's been a banner week here at Chinay Angola Jr. And the reason we have this kind of energy is because we're back. College football's back. We are here. I am doing my leg of this radio show. I don't think I'm going to get the name right. It's the Fall Friday Road Radio Football Tour at Maryland Stadium. I'm calling West Virginia at Maryland tomorrow, 3:30 on ESPN. Me, Anish Shroff, and Taylor McGregor and that crew. Shameless self-promotion. But, Amber, I guess because I'm staring at a literal football field, it's all felt particularly jacked up. And that's before we get to the absolute, like, speed-filled romp through college sports that we had last night.
Yes, we definitely kicked it off in fashion last night, and there will be plenty more of that tonight and tomorrow night and Sunday night as well. If you aren't watching ESPN Plus for the macadamia nut coverage, then you could watch it to see Mike Golic Jr. look like football, because right now you exude football on the camera.
I am just oozing football from my pores, Amber, and I'm not going to lie, it feels phenomenal. And so we're going to try and keep that up, because last night when we got started with college football, and I know we had week zero and I loved a lot of those games, but college football, really, it felt back last night because we had multi-screens going on. I had laptops pulled up. I had the two TVs in the house going on, and that was only just the start. We saw last night what I think a lot of people were looking for a different team this weekend. Ohio State looked a little more vulnerable than expected against Minnesota. They're on the road. C.J. Stroud's a freshman coming in, playing this position, following in the footsteps of Justin Fields, who looks like he's the savior of the Bears right now. And, Amber, again I say, what a world, what a time to be alive, where his vulnerable night reads like this. 13 of 22, 294 yards, 4 touchdowns and 1 pick. What are we doing here?
Well, in fairness, again, the numbers didn't look like that when you pull them for just the first half. And we know that's where the struggles were. Obviously, monster comeback there in the second half for Ohio State. It was against Minnesota. And not to take anything away from what Minnesota did last night, because they certainly impressed. But once Ibrahim went down with his injury, Minnesota's night was kind of over, right? It paved the path for C.J. Stroud and for Ohio State to make its comeback. Where I would be concerned, I guess, if I was a Buckeyes fan, and if I'm a Buckeyes fan, I'm never very concerned, but where I would be concerned is typically people like me who kind of enjoy hating on the Ohio State University. lament about the fact that their schedule is always easy, right? Like, that's a thing that we always do. We talk about Ohio State and how they have such a cupcake schedule, and that's why they're always so successful. Except for, bam, week two, number 11, Oregon, welcome to college football. And so you can't have a slow first half like you did, or a first half where C.J. Stroud said, hey, I just kind of struggled mentally a bit, which is totally reasonable for a freshman taking over the helm, but you can't do that against 11th ranked Oregon. That would be the only concern there if I was Ohio State.
I think that's probably why we saw more mistakes than we would have otherwise, Amber. Because when you look at what they were trying to do, I'd imagine, and Ryan Day said as much when he talked on ESPN Radio earlier, we kept putting our foot down on the gas with him because they need him to get better for that game soon, right? Like, you're going to treat that more like a scrimmage where you're trial by firing this thing, because this is not disrespect to Minnesota, but PJ Fleck would probably admit this first and foremost. Ohio State was too talented, I think, to lose that game. With what they've got this year, maybe the two best receivers in the country in Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave on the outside, an offensive lineman, a line that right now is so talented. We'll see if they put it together, because that's always the Ohio State thing, is immense talent up front. That they took Thayer Munford, one of their best tackles, and I think kicked him into guard last night. Like, there's a lot to like about that. But they needed to get the quarterback up to speed, because the defense next week is going to test him early and often. So Ohio State was a team that looked vulnerable in a way, Amber, that I think everyone's just been waiting around for Alabama to look like this year. Because I can't open up a preview magazine, I can't turn on a talk show without hearing about how this might be the step back, air quotes, down year for Bama.
That's funny, because I feel like actually there are people out here who are far too overzealous about Bama. It seems like people either fall on one side of this fence or the other. Like, there's no in between. And maybe the truth does actually lie somewhere in the middle. But there are people who expect Alabama to take a huge step back. And then, of course, there's people who say, hey, it's Bama. They always reload. It won't be a problem. I do think that it is noteworthy when your team loses over 50% of its production to the draft, offensively. I do think it's noteworthy to consider the fact that when you lose those weapons that you're losing in a Mac Jones and the Najee Harris, and then, oh, by the way, that doesn't even include the Heisman Trophy winner. I haven't even mentioned him yet, that maybe there would be a bit of a lull there the next year. And I don't care how many five-star recruits you have coming out of high school, not all five-star recruits pan out in college. So that would be the one concern there is, hey, yes, absolutely, they've reloaded in talent on paper, but how's it actually look in real-time games?
And you know what? I think it's interesting, because you mentioned a lot of what people have been worried about here. What goes on the offense here? I want to get to the other side of the ball, but this was Ryan McGee, our ESPN college football reporter, that was on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning, talking about if this might be the step-back year for them.
We've had this same conversation about this team for 15 years, which is, hey, they just lost a Heisman Trophy winner. Hey, they just lost half their defensive line of the league. Hey, their OC and DC both just left for head coaching jobs. And what's he do? He goes and gets two former NFL head coaches and hires them as the coordinators. And, you know, and oh, by the way, his quarterback, he just casually drops at Media Day. His quarterback's already making seven figures with NIL. So, I mean, they just reload.
Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. And, Amber, it's interesting we talk about the coordinators, because this is also a very unique thing to Alabama. Clemson has not dealt with very much of this, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Other schools have not dealt with this to this extent. But Mike Locksley, who's the head coach of Maryland, who I'm getting ready to talk to tomorrow, we talked to him today, and he spent time at Alabama. He was there in 2018 with that loaded recruiting class that came in. And he said the way it works there is you come in, and it's kind of like the Patriots. When the new coordinators come in, you're adding to the dish there. If we're all cooking a meal there, you're adding to it. You're not taking anything out. You're new to Alabama. You're going to do what Alabama does there and put maybe some more of your own flavor on it, but it's not going to change all that much. And the side of the ball we probably neglected, Amber, is defense, because I went and took a peek at the preseason All-SEC first team on defense, and he said how many Alabama players are in the mix there.
I don't even want to think about it, honestly.
Six. Alabama's entire linebacker core, the SEC first team preseason all SEC linebacking core, is Alabama, Alabama, Alabama. And half of the secondary is Alabama and Alabama.
But like, Mike, new quarterback, new running back, new OC, some new wide receivers. Come on, help me out here. Maybe this story will be written a little different. Maybe there will be parity this year.
It's funny that I think when we talk about this, we need to frame down year the right way, because everyone hears that and probably thinks of it in terms for their team. Down year for Alabama is losing two games. That's what we're talking about with a step back here this year. Because I get it. They're on the road against Florida early in the season. They're on the road against Texas A&M and Auburn to finish off the season. So those are tough games. Texas A&M could be as talented as any team on paper in college football this year. But I just feel like we've got to all start managing expectations a little more for when this buzzsaw comes out and starts cutting off our limbs again.
And realistically, they can drop one of those and still make the playoffs and still win a national championship. We know that as well. That's how this cookie crumbles. I do wonder if we will see any cracks this Saturday when they do take on UM, because what game we have not mentioned on that Bama schedule is the game that's tomorrow. And I think it's because nobody's really very concerned about that game. Defensively, UM's better than I think people realize, and that quarterback under center I think is a lot better than people realize. I'm not saying that it's possible. I'm just saying that anything is possible on any given Saturday. College football, baby.
Let's find out how enticing those points look, because Bama's given a lot of them in that game. We're going to be joined by one of the best and brightest to make you a little richer this upcoming weekend, next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.